You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. My name is Lee Stark, and that's... No, you're not supposed to do that yet. Stop it. Stop it. Thank you.
There we go.
Oh, you're not off to a good start,
no,
are you?
No. Paying attention to the wrong dick.
Yeah, you're not on a good start at all. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark, and I'm the one screwing up this evening. Welcome to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
Consider your pay docked.
Okay.
And tonight on the Gadget Grill, we are talking to someone who's having an anniversary.
Well, maybe they're suffering that anniversary. I don't know.
Through it. Tonight we're talking to the creator, or one of the creators of the hit ABC show, which is based on technology, or among technology video games, Good Game. That's what we're talking about tonight. We've also got a whole bunch of news in line. I think you want to try and get to a review of it all possible, don't you?
If we can, yeah, we haven't done a review for a few weeks, so I think that we should look at some toys again. We're starting to get some more toys in.
It's that time of the season.
As we start heading towards the Christmas season.
You mean Father's Day? It's Father's Day.
Did you
get your lucky number today?
I think
your lucky number is 4.
My lucky number was 42. My lucky colour was shit brown.
Oh, wow. You really are onto a good, whatever it is. I have no idea.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, that's tonight's show. Lots of screw-ups in line, and obviously you don't feel lucky, punk.
You
were too lucky.
The Gadget Grill, where nobody can screw up like me.
The Gadget Grill, the less we talk, the better it gets.
Yes.
And let's get into a song. This first song is from Imogen Heap's new CD, Lips. This is not a hit song, not yet anyway. This is a Bad Body Double. Now you can start it a bit early. Speak a bit over the top about it. This is Imogen Heap's new song, or one of them, so enjoy.
Sounds like it's live.
It's not really.
Huh.
She pops into the bathroom just after a shower, and she plays with my makeup and creams, keeps trying to look like me, and goes through the motions, posing this way and that, holding it in if it makes you feel better. Knock yourself out.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1, or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the slightly less Inner West. My name is Lee Stark.
I guess that means my name must be Gary Stark. What's the slightly less Inner West? Slightly less than what?
Slightly less West than John West, the tuna guy. Slightly West than him. Before you get the news, I should like to remind people that if you're listening to us on a radio, good for you. If you have a computer, you can also head to the fantastically brilliant, extraordinary website at www.radio2rdj.com, where you can listen to us in exciting surround sound, if you have surround sound speakers. If you don't, you kind of can't do that. You can also head to the Gadget Grill's website at www.gadgetgrill.com.au, where you can download this podcast when we're done with it, which won't be for another
few days.
Won't be for another day or two. I'm getting better at it. I'm getting back into the swing of things. I'm getting into it. I'm getting back. I'm back, baby. Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm just over that. That was really exciting. You can start.
Okay.
Hit it down.
Okay. Well, you know how easy it is for people to steal a laptop, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, I just stole yours right now.
Okay.
You didn't see that one coming,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't.
No.
But, of course, what is more obvious than a laptop than when you have it lying around in a sleeve?
A laptop lying around in the jacket.
Okay, yeah. So what about if you make your sleeve look like a newspaper?
Okay.
So your sleeve looks like a newspaper, and you put your laptop into that and carry it around as though it's a newspaper.
Okay.
Isn't that cool?
That's kind of cool. Who's making this?
Who's making them? The Mighty Might Unnecessary Objects Lab.
Unnecessary Objects Lab.
Unnecessary Objects Lab. But they cost around $86, which is pretty bloody expensive.
That's pretty bloody unnecessary.
But, of course, the problem with it then is that you leave your laptop lying around in what looks like a newspaper, and somebody, the cleaners, are going to come around. They're going to see what they think is a newspaper and throw it in the trash.
Oh, wow. What a waste of a MacBook.
Yeah.
if you would have thought one gadget wouldn't need upgrading, would probably be a stethoscope, you were wrong. 3M have just announced a new electronic stethoscope. It's Bluetooth. And it actually...
So this is one for dentists.
Yeah. It actually includes things like noise cancellation, better sound quality, and it can transmit information.
Active noise cancellation on a stethoscope.
Just hold on.
That's good. I like that.
And it can transmit information about your lung, heart, and your body sounds to the computer wirelessly for physicians and patients to have on record. So instead of just being able to listen in to your heart and hear what you know, what's essentially wrong with it, or your lungs, you know, chest. Please cough for me, sort of thing. It can actually be recorded.
Should I pull out the e-cigarette for you?
No, you shouldn't. It can actually be put on record so you can understand what's going to sound like from last time, from this time. It's actually a really good idea. It has an LCD panel on it as well.
I like the idea of that.
It's not...
And especially with the noise, the active noise cancellation, that sounds like a really good idea to
me. Yeah, it sounds like the sort of thing we carry on a plane. Surely you can't be serious.
Well, yes, I can, and stop calling me Shirley.
I will. What's your next story, sir?
Southwest Airlines have announced that they're going to be deploying
deploring?
They're going to be deploying Wi-Fi on their fleet by next year.
What? They're not going to be breaking any guitars like United, surely?
No, they're not according to this story.
Okay.
But as you know, it's a Texas-based airline, Dallas-based. And they've been testing Wi-Fi on 4 of its aircraft since March, and they've now concluded their testing, and they're going ahead and installing it on the whole fleet, and they're going to be using a satellite carrier through a mob called Row 44.
Row 44?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're talking about pricing as low as... perhaps $2. They're experimenting with different pricing models for the Wi-Fi. $2 for a flight is not bad for Wi-Fi while you're flying.
You might have heard that...
I guess they might call it Wi-Fly, I don't know.
Wow, that was bad. Yeah. You might have heard that Windows 7's coming out.
We already have a copy.
I'm actually running it on my computer. I like it a lot. Yeah. You might have heard that with that, Windows 7 will be pretty much used on netbooks. I think Windows 7 Starter Edition will be the operating system of choice for most netbooks, especially considering in some ways it's faster than XP. There won't be a free Windows 7 upgrade for netbooks, however. So a lot of people are suggesting if you want to buy a netbook, you might want to wait until October.
When you get it included.
Indeed, because the difference between XP and Windows 7 is pretty large, including some of the features that come with it. And apparently, though, Microsoft have this new thing called a user migration tool that will actually let people migrate from Windows XP to 7, sort of.
Or from Poland to the US.
No.
No?
No.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know. I'm never sure about anything, to be honest.
Okay, because Microsoft have gotten into a little bit of trouble with one of their advertising campaigns.
Oh, is this the black guy versus
yes.
the white guy thing? Yeah,
yes.
That's quite an interesting one.
Yes. Apparently, they've gotten into trouble. An ad that they put on their American websites features an Asian person, a black person, and a white lady. This is for
they're
one of their
sitting
products.
Down at the board meeting.
Sitting down at desks having a meeting. And in the Polish version of the ad, they have taken out the black person Well, the black person's face, and photoshopped in the face of a white person.
Yes, but the hand wasn't changed. Just
no, it wasn't.
I saw this on Photoshop Disasters.
I'm holding it up to the microphone so the listener can
I
see
I saw
that.
This on Photoshop Disasters well before the AP had it, because I frequent Photoshop Disasters for my entertainment quite frequently.
To learn what you can do,
no,
what you can
because
avoid doing.
I think I'm better than most of those people. But yes, it's certainly not something you'd expect a Microsoft-approved agency ad to do, especially when that's something that bad.
They're investigating this, and they've issued some apologies already.
Yeah, Apple looks set to do some interesting things to their MacBook. Their regular MacBook is actually doing better than they expected, probably because
it's cheap.
It's cheap. It's
relatively
the
cheap.
Same sort of spec and design, with the exception of the aluminium thing, as their MacBook Pro 13. As a result, the white MacBook, the plastic one, is going to go through some changes very soon, apparently, including new design. Possibly new casing, new internals. I guess they're going to make it interesting. It begs the question, will they make their white one the tablet?
That's a very interesting question. We'll find out in another week.
There's rumour, too, by the way, that they could actually drop the price on the white one to well under $1,000.
US.
US. No. Well, that would actually bring it to around $1,000 Australian.
It's... another story coming out of the Apple factory, of course, is that apparently there are problems with the Snow Leopard release. Apparently, a lot of people are having problems with the release discs.
How so?
Unreadable.
Unreadable?
Unreadable.
Well, you just take them out of the box and you read it says OS 10.6 and you just put it in your driver. What do you mean unreadable and they don't work?
And it doesn't work.
Right.
Put it into your computer and it fails to do the upgrade for you.
Well, there's something interesting.
And, of course, they've run out of supplies.
Yeah, apparently in OS 10.6 there's also some sort of code in there regarding antivirus technology.
It's, anti-malware rather than antivirus, but yes.
They're obviously getting prepared for what hackers will probably see as an onslaught of easy-to-attack computers. Very soon.
Yep.
Another random iPhone story. The iPhone is coming to China.
I saw
it's,
that.
It's struck a 3-year deal with China Unicom, who I constantly call China Unicorn.
That's appropriate.
It is. And it's finally coming to China. So the Chinese, welcome to the party. I hope you manage to work out this whole iPhone, this iPod,
whatever
credit thing. It's fun.
Whatever.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that's all the news I've got.
I had a little bit more, but, you know, aside for the fact that apparently e-books are better for the environment long term, and Asus look like they might be releasing an e-book reader very soon as well.
Okay, cool.
Which will be kind of cool, make the Kindle market a lot more interesting.
Right.
Let's start this whole thing. We've got the interview with Good Game coming up in a few minutes, so I figured we'd start with some Australian music. This is End of Fashion with The Game, which has nothing to do with The Game. Radio 2RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark over there operating the equipment. Hey, you're back in your stride. You're not doing any more screw-ups.
Oh, no. Once I'm warmed up, I'm...
Once you're hot, you're hot.
When you're hot, you're hot.
And you're echoing like a madman.
When you're not, you're not.
You're echoing like a madman. And right now we're going to get into our interview because it's the anniversary of probably one of Australia's newest TV shows. It's doing really well. It's a technological TV show, sort of. I mean, I guess you'd call it that, wouldn't you?
Oh, it is certainly deals with technology in a different way from what we do, although we touch on games
we
as
do
well.
We do touch on games. I like to touch on games. I know that you don't really play them, but
well,
I do.
Yeah, but the deal here is, of course, that this week celebrated the 100th episode of the Good Game TV show on ABC TV.
Indeed.
And 100 episodes.
That's a proud number.
Is really quite good.
It's an achievement.
And the show Good Game actually gets a higher download ratio
than anything else. Yeah,
than
beats
anything
the
else
chaser.
On the ABC. So
which is amazing.
Yeah, so that is really something. So we figured that we would go out and wander into the ABC studio and tear it apart and find Janet Carr, who's the producer.
Yeah.
And spend a little time with Janet to find out all about the Good Game. Here it is.
My name is Janet Sid Carr, and I'm the series producer of Good Game.
So how did Good Game come about?
All right. Well, I've been working at the ABC for quite some time, and I was actually in ABC Two working on another programme entirely when the head of content creation happened to walk past my desk and he said, Janet, do you have any ideas for a new television show? Because they were looking to actually bring some original content to ABC Two. I said, actually, I do. I'm a bit of a gamer, and I think there is a place on the ABC for a review sort of cultural analysis show about video gaming, because in fact the number of people, and then particularly the number of Australians who are video gamers, is actually quite high, higher than probably the general population would even think, and that if we make it, then we could potentially attract quite a good audience.
Cool. So how did it come about? Like, how did you have to audition for people? How did all that come about? I imagine there's a lot of gamers who want to be on TV.
Yes, you're right. A lot of gamers do want to be on TV. But we actually made the pilot. We didn't really sort of get any real funding for the pilot, so we couldn't really have...
There's a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't really... I couldn't really ring theatrical agents and say, please send me along any video gamers who also want to be performers, because... Yeah. Couldn't pay them. So I actually co-opted one of my friends, my online gaming friends, to be the presenter, and he had a buddy who was also a hardcore gamer who was a pretty lively chap, and he was the other presenter, and I fully expected both of those guys to be replaced with real TV people with some theatrical training once we got the program up and running, if we got the program up and running. And all the feedback came back, love the guys, like the show, please make it. And so I was in the very envious and wonderful position of being able to ring them both and say, hey guys, they want us to make this and they want you guys to present it.
It's always been a show that has attracted a massive cult following, just in the underground when it started, because it actually portrayed video games the way gamers wanted to be presented, not the poppycock sort of celebrity crap that can be seen on, I guess, commercial TV. How does the writing of something like this come about?
Well, Lee, you've really hit the nail on the head. I mean, we've always called the show for gamers by gamers, and it is pretty much essential that anyone working on the show is a gamer. That's just how we are. That is how we talk. That is how we write. The fact that I've never really been able to do that on the television before, because I've always worked in news and current affairs programs or in drama programs, and so, you know, you do write and speak in a different way on those particular programs. But with this, you know, we knew our audience were gamers, and we talked to them online all the time anyway, and so it just felt really natural, really.
Is it more liberating for you because you don't have to sit behind a desk so much? You can go out and play the game and speak the way you actually do when you're writing the show?
Yes, it is. I would say liberating is a really good word for it. We do have a little bit of, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff here, because some of the, say, higher up the chain people than myself aren't necessarily gamers, and so, you know, there is always that.
There would be a bit of a cultural clash, I could imagine.
Well, I wouldn't call it a clash. I would say, and I think they're right, that, you know, we are after all on the ABC, and the ABC is available to every Australian in the country, and
yes.
So it is beholden on us to make our show accessible to everybody. I think of it as walking a bit of a line. You know, there we've got our gamers, they are our core audience. But if you are flicking through the channels and you happen to come across Good Game, I don't want to make it so unintelligible that you think, what on earth is this foreign language film? Now, for me, I think of Top Gear, but I can't tell you what car I drive. I drive a car, but I can't tell you which one. It's a white one. Now, if
that's
I can...
all that matters, it's white. It gets you from point A to point
but
B.
Exactly. But what is it that's wrong in that show that makes...
It's the personality of the presenters that comes through.
Exactly, and their passion.
Yes.
For the cars, right. So the fact that the show's about cars is neither here nor there. So
it's with... it is not a car show. It is a lifestyle show.
Exactly. So for us, whatever that Top Gear magic is, we try and incorporate a little bit of that in the mix, so that if you've got your gamer sitting on the lounge, here's the show for them, and a non-gaming family member sitting with them, that person isn't going to want to stick pins in their eyes rather than watch the show.
And now you're coming up to a milestone. How does that make you feel? 100 episodes in.
Old.
In seriousness.
Very proud. Yeah, very proud. I mean, if you'd have told me way back in... August 2006, when we made the first one, that we would be here 100 episodes later. And, you know, on both ABC One and ABC Two, you know, with the most popular ABC TV forum.
You're the most downloaded show, practically, probably in Australia.
High podcast numbers on the show, some nice awards. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been the pinnacle and highlight of my career.
And you've had how many episodes are you doing this year?
We're doing 43 episodes this
year.
That's
more than most Australian shows, I think, outside of Spicks and Specks, probably get to do.
I think we're doing one more than them. I think a normal run of an ABC show like Spicks or Specks or Triple J TV is 42 episodes.
Good number.
And we're
42
doing...
42 is a great number.
Yeah. Yes.
So you've got 43 episodes this year, and it must be full on working on them every week. I mean, do you even get time to think about or stop for a second and say, wow, we really are 100 episodes in. Let's take a breather for a second.
Yeah, I do. We finish the show on a Friday. I'm letting all the secrets out here. And we do a sound mix, which usually happens quite late on a Friday afternoon. And then we have the weekend, and then it goes to air on the Monday. So I have that sort of weekend away from that episode. And I'm usually thinking about what we're going to be recording the following week in the next episode. So sometimes, and this happened to me last Monday for the 100th episode, I can sit down at 8:30 at night, and it's like watching it for the first time. Yeah.
Do you ever, you say that you put the show to bed Friday night when you do the final sound mix. Do you ever on a Saturday or a Sunday think, oh shit, I don't really like what we've done, we need to redo something, and Monday's a panic day? Do you ever have that sort of thing happen?
We do have that kind of thing happen, and we have actually re-recorded the entire show on a Monday to go to air Monday night. But, yes, you know, I come from a news and current affairs background, so that's nothing.
More of that interview coming up after the song. Which the song? There's some cool stuff in there, isn't there? She's really cool.
A lovely lady.
Janet's cool. New song coming next. This is yet another Australian band. Hey, I'm really getting my Australian content quota. Well and truly filmed. Hey, you run a jazz show. How much Australian jazz do you play?
We put tons of Australian music in the shed.
Okay, fine. If that's your scapegoat, I'm sticking with that one. Fine.
That's my story. I'm sticking with it.
In that case, I'm playing a new independent band. This is The Vanish with Heartbeat.
Sorry, it's vanished.
No, it hasn't.
This up. You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
88.1 Radio 2RD. Did I even say that right? 88.1 Radio 2RD. 88.1
Near
Radio
enough,
2RDJ.
Yes. Near
this
enough,
is the Gadget yes. Grill on the Good Game Show thingy that we're doing. Getting back into our interview with Janet Carr.
Okay. And am I still doing things hot? Am I still... When I'm hot, I'm hot.
I don't even know what this is. What is this?
That's when you're hot, you're hot.
How would I know that? I'm not. What, you're like 206. How would I even know that? You're like Gandalf the Great. You've been around for years.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you're hot, you're hot. Did you want to get into the actual interview instead of stop deviating and going on your old sort of old things?
Oh yeah, okay. We could get back to the interview with Janet Carr from Good Game. Good Game.
What's been for you the highlight of your 100 episodes? Is there one show that sticks out more, or one segment that sticks out as being particularly good?
I'm jealous you guys saw Will Wright. I mean, geez, that's like a major jealousy thing from my point of view.
Well, you're right. That was a real highlight, and definitely meeting the developers is a highlight for me. Because, I mean, I come from Late Line, so, you know, that interviewing people, interesting people about what's going on in their minds is, you know, what always kept me motivated.
What's
and
it
I
feel
laugh.
Like being on the other side of that right now.
Oh, yeah, very weird. Very strange. But so actually having the opportunity to go and meet these people, some of whom have been working in video games for many, many years, but are still almost at the peak of their creativity, like take, for example, Peter Molyneux.
Yep.
And I think that it might sound a bit wanky, but some of the most creative people alive at the moment are actually working in video games.
I agree with that.
And I think history will judge it that way. Mm. And, you know, I'll be able to say to my grandchildren, oh, I met him.
Which probably leads me to my final point. I mean, with games really becoming more... I mean, like, I know more people who could play games now than play movies or watch movies. I know people who prefer to video game than read a book, which in a way is kind of sad. But are we going to see... not sad, but yeah.
It's sad.
Are we going to see...
you can do both.
You can, true.
You can always read a book about a video game.
Well, oh, you can read our book about a video game.
I could.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Sorry.
No, that's cool. No, that's completely cool. With all the... With things like... What's the name of it? Natalia.
Project Natal.
With stuff like Project Natal and even Sony's version, which I don't really think too much of at the moment, with things like that coming into play, is your audience going to be completely united and you're going to have everyone watching Good Game because everyone will be gaming?
Hope so. Hope so.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? That way we'll be back in the 200th episode. We're asking, what's your favourite moment on the 200th episode?
Yeah, well, that would be good.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Looking to the future, what do you see as being perhaps something for the future that is going to be blowing everybody's mind within the realm that you're enjoying?
You mean from a gaming...
From a gaming perspective,
point of view.
And from the point of view of production of the show, where do you see the show going?
You know, I'm really proud of the ABC for getting behind Good Game, because I think,
you don't see enough of this sort of stuff happening. Too much, especially on the commercial networks, you see too much of the so-called reality shows. And
that's
I can't understand why they call them reality shows, because the last thing they have anything to do with is reality.
Yeah.
Everything is so contrived. And I like to see stuff where it's real people doing real stuff. Or if it's acting, then you've got, you know, sort of real scripts and real actors doing something creative. Now, what you're doing is something that is very, very creative. And you're talking, quite obviously, to a large proportion of the Australian community, the Australian population.
Well, and I think you're very kind. I'm not sure that we're... I mean, I think of us as a, you know, essentially a sort of cultural analysis and a review show. And I think it's really important that the ABC is in the gaming space.
Yes.
Because where else can Australian gamers and gamers around the world actually access completely editorially independent, no ads, you know, founded by the taxpayer information about video gaming? And games are not cheap. You know, you cannot... It's not like, oh, I'm going to go spend $15 on a movie, and if I hate the movie, it's not the end of the world. You know, you drop $120 into a game, you want to make sure you get a good experience. You know, the ABC has always had a part of its charter to review and criticise the arts in Australia.
Absolutely.
On behalf of its public. And I think, you know, we've really fit into that. If you believe, as I do, that video games are actually an artistic medium, just like movies or music,
yes,
then it's absolutely the place where the ABC should be. So I hope that the ABC continues to believe that gaming is something that they should be a part of, and that as the reach of people who call themselves gamers expands, so does our ability as the ABC to offer them information.
Is it the reach of the people who are gamers that needs to expand, or is it the definition of what gamers are?
Well, you see, I think gamer is going to soon become a redundant, and we haven't yet found the word. That, you know, the interactive experience doesn't really kind of sit very well, does it? But there's so many of these things aren't actually games.
Well, the thing is that the technology today is expanding at such a rate, and it is becoming so much more all-encompassing. Do you see anything like that happening with the games? What do you think?
I do. I mean, I think this whole push towards removing the controller, you know, this whole thing, bringing everyone in, making it accessible for everyone. Swing your arm really rather than actually flicking a button and all that kind of stuff. Yes, I can see that only expanding. Yes, it's great. But I think the gamers out there, of which there are millions,
yes,
are not actually going to want to flail around for hours upon hours. We like our controllers.
You like having something physical.
We do. Well, it's quicker. What we like is quickness and efficiency, right?
Imagine playing Portal without a mouse.
Exactly.
Well, you need you need the response, don't you? And you need the physical feel of the response as well, the feedback.
And and you don't need the gimmick. If you just want to play the game, you want to play the game.
You want to play the game. Yeah. We actually like interfaces because interfaces, HUDs, you know, they have all the information there instantly accessible for us all the time. We don't want to have to, you know, vroom, vroom, zing, zing, in and out, blah, 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 button in, button out. You know, I think I'm too stupid to really give you an honest answer to that.
But I wouldn't say that.
With this push to make everything accessible, us people who actually love the hardcore gaming experience or the long in-depth game, because we're actually going to be maybe, or that we're perceived to be decreasing in numbers, that we may find the titles that come out appeal for us to be less and less and less. And I think certain genres are in danger.
Certain genres like the RPG and the RTS. Oh, my favourite genres are going to die! Anyway.
Oh, well. Thank you, Janet, for spending some time with us, for giving us some of your valuable time.
And
to,
for showing us the studio, which is really cool.
You enjoyed playing with the toys there, didn't you?
They had a Sackboy. I'm jealous.
Except you've got a Sackboy.
I want both of them. Jeez.
Okay.
I had a rabbit. I like the rabbits.
Yes. Janet Carr from The Good Game filling us in a little bit on the show and 100 episodes of the show.
Congratulations, Good Game. We'll see you in 100 more.
Yeah.
Probably, we'll actually probably see you soon, but yeah, because okay. We tune in. We've got David Bowie up next with a classic. This is Space Oddity, Ground Control.
To Major Tom.
Ground Control to Major Tom. Ground Control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill. I can't believe I saw my dad dancing and attempting to sing on that last David Bowie track. That was pretty nice, Dad. Oh, except for the singing. Good. The singing was very, very dangerous.
Yeah. Now, that is classic Bowie, and it is good music.
You've got something you want to talk about.
I have something we're going to talk about. We haven't done a review for a while, so I thought let's talk about the Navman MY55T GPS system that we've had for the last couple of weeks in my car. And we've been playing with it, and it's got some very good features, and it's got a couple of features that I think are perhaps not so good. The very good, the screen is a delight to look at. It is a nice big screen, big text, good maps. It is really, really very, very good and easy to follow from that regard. Some of the actual operation of it is less than ideal, though.
Touchscreen?
It's got a touchscreen, but the touchscreen seems to be not 100% sensitive in a lot of places. Sometimes you've got to push it pretty hard, sometimes not. And the menu control on the left-hand corner is overly sensitive as well. It's just sort of a light sensor type of thing. It's touch, but it's...
You put your finger there and all of a sudden the menu pops up and you're like, oh, yeah. Crap, I didn't want that.
Yeah. Some of the warnings that it gives you are very, very good. It tells you when there are safety cameras and school zones and all that sort of stuff.
It also tells you when there are school zones when you're not anywhere near the school zone and when you're...
Well, that's part of the problem.
When you're travelling away from red light meters, because the last... We're at red light zones. Yeah, I really want to know. I'm 20 metres. I've just gone past a red light camera.
Well, not just I've just gone past it. It is 100 metres behind me, and it's of totally no consequence at all. Mind you, if I approach...
Maybe you should get the CB radio out and warn people
if I approach it from the other direction, it also tells me that it's 50 metres away from where it actually is. And that's if I'm approaching from the other direction. But if I approach it from a different direction, then it totally ignores it.
And I suppose one of the other things is, I'm not sure if this is a Navman or a NavTech sort of thing, because one makes the actual GPS, the other one makes the maps. But when it's in a school zone, why is it showing the school zone for all times of the day?
Well, that's one of my bugbears for just about every GPS that I've seen, that any GPS system at all... they generally don't seem to take into account the fact that... school zones only apply when school times are on and school days. Telling me that at 1 o'clock in the morning I'm going through a school zone is rather irrelevant. So,
That's sort of like... And that's the irrelevant sound of the day, the trumpet sound of J.J. Johnson. Well, that wasn't bad. what do you think of it
It told me that I was in the school zone on the Harbour Bridge.
Really? On the Harbour Bridge? As you get on, because the school right next to the observatory.
No, the other side, but yes.
Oh,
on
wow.
Milson's Point.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a couple of things about it that are not good. The persistency of some of the displays, if you want to have a constant speed display on the screen.
Yeah, of course. You have to constantly tap that screen, or if you update the screen,
it
refreshes and it removes it. Yeah, it's got a couple flaws. So, I think it's got some firmware upgrades it certainly needs to have done to it.
Yeah. It's not a bad system, but...
Its rough cost is around $400 to $500, depending on where you get it. What do you think? Worth the cost? This is the Navman My55T.
I'd like to see the next model up from it, but
the
I don't...
With the one with the iPod Touch-like screen.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's also supposed to let me use my phone with it.
We did try that.
And it was unusable.
Yeah, it's not so much it's unusable, it's that it's just not loud enough in the slightest.
Which makes it unusable.
Yeah, it's easy to call, it's easy to send data across, it's easy to link it up even to the iPhone, but it's just not loud enough.
If you can't hear the phone call, then it's
if you can't
pointless.
Yell at the phone call, I can't hear you!
Yeah, exactly.
But we can hear what's coming up next. Thank you for that review, Dad.
Yeah.
This song is J.J. Johnson, classic jazz artist, with Blue Train. You want to end us, Dad?
Well, it's great music, but before we actually let the listener listen to it, we should say that you've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
Unless you haven't, in which case we apologise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you've just missed it, then you're in time to listen to Cole Richardson, who's going to be playing whatever his show is.
And if you have just missed us, you can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au on Monday or Tuesday, probably Tuesday, to find this show where you can actually listen to it.
Yeah. This has been The Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM. My name is Gary Stark.
My name is Lee Stark.
We'll be back next Sunday night at 9.
Provided we don't get hit by a bus. Good night, Australia. Have a good week.